Well, thank you for joining us, and thank you for inviting me into your homes today. This is as unfamiliar to me as it is for you, and this is a very new thing. This is also historic, and I want to remind you that while our building is closed, the church is indeed not closed, because you are the church. Right now, we are being the church. The church is not our building, it is us. And even though we are not together at the moment physically, we are still in worship together. We are binding our hearts together in prayer and in praise and in thanksgiving for this opportunity to take pause, to learn, and to reflect, and to be in a safe place, in a familiar place, and to figure out together how we will proceed over the next few weeks. And of course, as with anything, there will be room for improvement, and we put this together over the past 48 hours with very short notice, and so your prayers and your graces and your patience is very much appreciated. As most of you are aware, I am very comfortable behind a pulpit. That's a familiar space for me. And so what I'm doing right now isn't so familiar to me. Right now, I am talking into my phone. I am not in our sanctuary. I am not using my preacher voice. I don't have a well-edited manuscript in front of me. Instead, this is supposed to be just a conversation. This is just my reflection. A message to you that I hope will start a conversation over the next few weeks. So please feel free to give us feedback, to comment on our social media pages, to email us, to call us, to text us. We have this gift of being able to stay connected even when we cannot be physically with each other. This take-home worship experience is also being shared with several people who are not a part of our regular Sunday morning congregation. And so we also want to extend a virtual welcome to all of those people who are joining us from several states and countries over. As we say in our denomination, the United Church of Christ, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whenever you worship with us, whether it be in person in our historic sanctuary just north of San Diego, or if you're joining us for the first time from home, we want to remind you that whenever you worship with us, it is a place where we affirm and where we welcome everyone. Ours is a community that accepts all of God's children, no exceptions. Those of you who are regular church members know that each year that I have been pastor of this church, I have put forth a guiding question each year, and over the course of the year, we answer that question, and it guides our mission and our programming for the year. For example, for those who are not regular members of the congregation, in 2018, my first full year here, our question was, who is our neighbor in 2018? This year, the question is, what does it mean to be the church in 2020? Well, coronavirus is giving us our first masterclass as we attempt to answer this question. I think that one of my greatest hopes for you during this time is that you feel a sense of worshipfulness. And here's what I mean by that. Our faith is one that employs science and reason. We believe in medicine. We believe in science. We believe that these things are of God. We pray for guidance. We pray for healing for our world and for all of those who are ill. And the way that I believe that those prayers are answered are through the tools that the medical and scientific community give us. It is up to us to take those tools, to take that advice, to take that direction, and to act on it. In doing so, I believe that that action is an act of worship. In doing what we are doing now, in worshiping in our homes and in this new and unfamiliar way, I believe that we are being faithful in unfamiliar territory. We are walking through this Lenten desert knowing that this time of temporary disruption is an act of faith that we do to protect the vulnerable in our community. By listening to the wise counsel of those who study communicable diseases and those who have dedicated their entire careers to this pursuit, not only are we giving thanks to God for them and for the science that they represent, but we are being faithful in our call to be people of faith who are rooted in reason and enlightenment. I chose a scripture passage for us to reflect on that you read earlier in the worship guide, Matthew 7. This is the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And many of you will remember that you heard from earlier parts of this sermon, about 3 weeks worth of this, when this was the lectionary a couple of months ago. Matthew 7, though, gets to the heart of Jesus' message in the Sermon on the Mount. He says that those who take heed of his words, those who put them into practice, is like the one who builds her house on solid rock. For when the rain comes down, when the streams rise and the winds blow and beat against that house will not fall because it is built on rock. But those who hear Jesus' words and who don't put them into practice are like the foolish one who builds her house on sand and whose house collapses when the winds come, the streams rise, and the rain pours down. The streams are rising. The rain is pouring. The winds are blowing. And I believe in our world today, Jesus is among us and he is speaking to us. Jesus is among us, showing us how to flatten the curve. Jesus is here, and he's just happens to be wearing the uniform of the World Health Organization. Jesus is here, but he's in a lab coat. And Jesus is speaking to us, showing us where to build our houses so that as the rain comes and as the wind blows, our houses still remain strong. The bottom line is this: discipleship can occur in the most simple of ways. For us today, worshiping as we are doing today, this is a profound act of discipleship. As we go forth over the next few weeks, I want to highlight change makers in our history and in our world who have had to, for one reason or another, stay put, who have had to stay home. Today, I shared with you a little bit about Henri Matisse, who spent the last 14 years of his life confined to a wheelchair and largely spent that time at home. He was cared for by a Dominican nun, and she invited him to design a small chapel for the Dominicans, which Matisse poured himself into and considered to be his true masterpiece. Matisse, however, didn't lament at his condition or his homebound existence. He instead relished in it. He saw it as a creative windfall, an opportunity. In fact, he called it his second life. His old life as he knew it was over, but he found a way to see new life in the ashes of what had once been. We can change the world, and we can be significant. We can live wholly and profoundly from home. We can live lives of significance even when we are faced with conditions that we might not have chosen for ourselves. We can choose to see this as an opportunity, as a second life, as a revival brought to us by inconvenient circumstances that have called for action and that have called for creativity. I intend to share more with you about this as the weeks go on, and I intend to listen with you for the voice of God, and I will continue to look for and to find Jesus walking out in our world as the nurse, as the healer, as the health professional, and I will choose to see our time apart from one another, our sabbatical from normalcy, our quarantines or our recovery periods as sacred and holy time. As Matisse would have put it, a second life of sorts. Because I think he was on to something. So may it be so, and stay tuned for more. Amen.